When many of us were younger in Sunday school, we sang a song about Zacchaeus. If you remember it, sing along. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in, do the motions too. He wanted the Lord to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. He said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. And if you were British, you would say to tea. Okay, for I'm going to your house to tea. And, you know, and as kids, we thought the point was, you come down from that tree, because it sounded like your mother pointing your finger. But that's really not the point of the story. I want us to think about today, not Zacchaeus as a wee little man, but even before that, when he was a wee little baby. Okay? Because when he was newborn, his parents brought him to the temple to be dedicated. And when the priest asked, what is the baby's name? They said, Zacchaeus. And they were proud of that. Because Zacchaeus means innocent or pure one. They had high expectations for their little baby Zac. By the time we meet him, he's a crook. Everybody hates him in town. What happened? What happened to this poor little baby that the parents had such high expectations for? He worked with the Romans in their corrupt system of collecting taxes. For the average peasant, between the taxes for the Rome and the taxes for temple, it was about 30 to 40% of their income for the year. They didn't make all that much to begin with. Zacchaeus had become very rich while the people around him had become very poor, including Jesus and his followers. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. What happened to that little baby that changed him from Mr. Pure and Innocent to public enemy number one? No one can say for sure, but let's read the story and see what we can find out about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus went on to Jerusalem. Excuse me. Jesus went on to Jericho and was passing through. There was a tax collector there named Zacchaeus, who was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was. But he was a little man and could not see Jesus because of the crowd. And so he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. Hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay in your house today. Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him with great joy. All the people who saw it started grumbling. This man has gone as a guest to home of a sinner. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, listen, sir, I will give half my belongings to the poor. And if anyone has cheated me, or if I've cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, salvation has come to this house today, for this man is also a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What is it that Jesus did in that brief encounter with Zacchaeus to bring about such a dramatic change in his life that transformed his life? Jesus ate a meal with him. He invited himself over, that's right, but he ate a meal with Jesus. That means that he had accepted Zacchaeus' hospitality. He had accepted him. He had accepted him as a fellow beloved child of God. He hadn't written him off like everybody else in Jericho. At the end of the story, he calls Zacchaeus the one who was a despised crook, a true son of Abraham. Acceptance was what Zacchaeus needed, and perhaps he needed all of his life. It is something that we all long for. It's something that everyone craves. Wes Angelosi said, go and love someone exactly as they are, and watch how quickly they transform the greatest and truest version of themselves. When a person is seen and feels appreciated for their own essence. A person becomes instantly empowered. Imagine this grown man up in the tree. Zacchaeus had surely put himself into an awkward position, and I'm sure people were chuckling down below and pointing up at him. They might have even been able to see his underwear. And I'm sure that they were sarcastic when they looked. Look, he's taken all our money, now he's trying to get taxes from the trees as well. You know, I hope that he falls. It'd serve him right for the ways that he screwed us out of our money. Maybe someone even gave the tree a shake, you know, to give him a little scare. Zacchaeus has put himself into a very vulnerable position. Why did he do it? The scripture says that he wanted to see Jesus. Now, we don't have any other report of Jesus ever passing through Jericho. So most likely, most of the people there had never seen Jesus either, unless they had taken the walk up to Galilee and found Jesus wherever he was preaching, because he didn't have a regular posted schedule. So many of the people that were there were seeing him for the first time, but they had heard about him, but they hadn't actually seen or heard him speak. Now, we're told that Zacchaeus was a short man, and kids are cruel. I'm sure that since he was little, he was teased for that, and that may have shaped and soured a little bit his personality. He knew he would never be able to see Jesus unless he did something drastic. He was a little afraid to find his way through the crowd, though, because he had too many enemies there. Somebody might take advantage of him in that crowd and rough him up a little bit anonymously. He could see the direction that Jesus was going, and he saw that there was a tree up there, and so he ran up ahead, and with the adrenaline pumping through his system, he did something that he hadn't done for years and years. He climbed the tree. But what did he expect to happen next? Perhaps he would get to see Jesus, and his curiosity would be satisfied. He would wait until the crowd passed by, and then climb down the tree, and then go back to work, continuing to take money from his fellow Jews. But maybe there was something else going on that day, something deeper than just curiosity. Something was happening in this little man's heart. He knew that something was missing. He had all the material goods he could possibly have, and yet he was lonely. He had few friends. Most people would walk on the other side of the street if they saw his coming. Loneliness shadowed him wherever he went. Maybe his conscience was starting to bother him. How had a pure and innocent human being become such a scoundrel? Maybe he really did understand deep down that something was wrong. Something was really wrong. And that something about his life needed to change. And then came Jesus. When he got right under the sycamore tree, he called, "Zacchaeus!" Can you imagine? I mean, I'm surprised he didn't fall out of the tree right there and then. Jesus called him by name. Sometimes we forget, how on earth did Jesus know his name? He called him by name. He didn't say, "Hey, you up there." He said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, hurry up, come on down, come on down." Kind of like The Price is Right. You got a big prize waiting for you. Why? I'm sure that, this puzzled me. How did Jesus know that this fellow's name was Zacchaeus? Now, Dorothea, yeah, I know. That's exactly what I have here. It says, Dorothea would tell me that he knew the name because Jesus is Jesus. Okay, Pastor, don't you get that? That may be so. Because Jesus did have supernatural knowledge. It might also be, Dorothea, that he had overheard somebody in the crowd say, "Look at that Zacchaeus up in the tree. He looks like a monkey." Okay. All right. And I've written that down. And even in Karen, they will know that you said that. And actually, I agree with you, Dorothea. I think that Jesus knew that this man needed him. Because something like this had happened before. There was a woman who had been bleeding internally for 12 years, and she'd gone to doctors for a long time, and she was considered unclean by the community. She did what? She went through the crowd, just touched the edge of Jesus' robe, and instantly she knew that she was clean. Jesus stopped. Even though there was a huge crowd, he said, "Somebody touched me." His disciples turned around. "What are you talking about, Jesus? Of course somebody touched you. You're in the middle of a crowd." But he said, "No, somebody touched me." And it was when this woman came forward that the truth came out. That indeed, there had been a power that had flowed from Jesus in that moment. He had felt her presence, even though there was a crowd of people. In the same way, he knew that Zacchaeus needed him. And so he stopped. "Zacchaeus, hurry up. Come on down. I'm inviting myself over to your house." Okay? Jesus does some outlandish things, because when you invite Jesus over, it's not just Jesus. Okay? It's all that crowd that he brings with him, all those hungry men. So he said, "I'm inviting myself over for dinner," and Zacchaeus didn't even blink. But at that moment, the crowd goes silent. Of all the things that people expected to hear from Jesus that day, the last thing they expected to hear was, "I'm coming over to your house for lunch, Zacchaeus." The silence ended, and then the grumbling began. The people began muttering to themselves and then murmuring their disappointment with Jesus. This was not a popular choice. They had an argument with Jesus. "This man, Zacchaeus, is a sinner. Why would you go and eat with him? What on earth are you thinking?" But this decision was not a mistaken judgment by Jesus. This stop at the home of Zacchaeus was not a delay or a detour on his journey to Jerusalem. This little tea party demonstrated the very purpose of his journey altogether. His life's mission was to seek and to save the lost. And that's what he says. Zacchaeus was a member of Jesus' target audience. Now, I'm not saying that I would have acted any different than anybody in that crowd, especially if Zacchaeus had cheated me year after year out of hard-earned money. I would have been quick to judge and condemn him. I would have questioned Jesus' judgment in eating with him. It wouldn't do his reputation any good to be associated with that flagrant sinner. But Jesus uses this most outrageous example of a sinful, hated man to demonstrate his Father's overwhelming, unconditional grace, his love that will not give up, love that will not be stopped. The grace of God is an unstoppable force. 2 weeks ago, Lori and I were at Niagara Falls. I'd never been there before. Some of you have. My ears are still ringing with the sound of the pounding water and the swirling mist. But did you know that every second, 750,000 gallons of water goes over the edge, falls 176 feet to the rocks below? 750,000 gallons a second go over Niagara Falls. And still, this is not equal to the force of God's grace. God's grace is more powerful even than Niagara Falls. Jesus' unconditional acceptance of Zacchaeus and his hospitality freed him to make this life-changing choice and startling declaration. He's going to give half his property away to the poor. All these people that he's been taking money from, he's going to start giving it back to them. And for all these years and for how hard he's worked to earn this money and to have these things, he found that the joy that the money had in giving it away was so much more than in keeping it for himself. He will give it up voluntarily, gladly to give it to the poor from whom he has taken it. No longer would his things own him. And as if that's not enough, he goes on to say, and he says this all out loud to the crowd, admitting his guilt. He makes restitution and says he'll repay anybody that he has cheated, four times the amount. I'm sure there was a lineup at Zacchaeus' house the minute that Jesus left. Jesus sees this amazing thing that has happened. Forever. Zacchaeus' life is changed. His household is now immersed in a new way of living. Everything has changed. Jesus affirms this when he said, "You and your family have been saved." In some translations, saved is translated as healed, or made well, or whole. All of these things apply to Zacchaeus. This is indeed the inbreaking of the kingdom of God in that moment, in that home in Jericho. Because Jesus is now a legitimate, full-fledged, true son of Abraham. He's a member of God's covenant and special people. God is working through them to bring salvation to the whole world. And it's all because Jesus ate with him. Jesus accepted him. And that acceptance awakened in him a vibrant life. A few weeks ago, we talked about the 10 lepers who were cleansed. They were sent to the priest, and the priest was going to declare that they were clean. Jesus has said the same thing to the most flawed and sinful person in town. "You're clean, Zacchaeus." Now, you can be sure that the good citizens of Jericho kept a close eye on their little tax collector. It would only be what he did now, after what he had said, that he would find his community's acceptance. Now, we don't see the name Zacchaeus again in the New Testament. What do you suppose happened to him? He may have ended up in the poor farm. But there is one old account from about the year 200 AD. There's a church father named Clement of Alexandria. And he said that the apostles gave Zacchaeus a new name, Matthias. Okay, he changed his name from Zacchaeus, pure and innocent one, to Matthias, which means gift from God. The apostles also had something to do after Jesus had died and was resurrected, and after Judas had killed himself. They needed to elect another member of their clan. Matthias was the one that they chose to replace Judas of Iscariot. And I don't know if Clement is right or not, but it's interesting to think about Zacchaeus as one of Jesus' disciples. Levi was also a tax collector. So 2 out of 12 disciples are tax collectors. What does that say? Nothing puts up walls as surely as judgment. Nothing brings down walls as surely as acceptance. Jesus' acceptance of Zacchaeus liberated him to be the person that God intended him to be. This is critical to this world. It's critical to how we develop as human beings. Most of us in this world need love and acceptance a lot more than we need advice and judgment. And there is a transforming power that happens when we realize that acceptance. But it is also our duty to accept others. When we practice accepting the people around us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, we experience a serenity in our lives when we trade judgment and expectations for acceptance. But it's not easy, because it seems that we are hardwired not to, just simply not to accept others, to prejudge. It's only possible, how? If we ourselves know that acceptance by God. It's only possible if we accept the acceptance that Christ offers us. From the cross, we hear Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That was not directed only at the small group of women and the Roman soldiers on the hill that day that Jesus died. It was to all of us and down through the ages. This unconditional love and forgiveness is ours, and it's what changes our lives, and it's what changes our ability to live as Christ imitators. Because we can forgive others because Christ forgave us. We can love others because Christ first loved us. We can accept others because we are accepted by Christ. If we don't know that graceful acceptance, we cannot be free to share it. And anything that we do share is really not acceptance. Only when we receive that holy acceptance in our lives are we able to offer it to others around us. Jesus uses the biggest loser in Jericho to make his point. He offers us the same offer of acceptance, and we need to humble ourselves. Sometimes we need to do something a little outrageous. I don't know if climbing the tree will work, But whatever we do, no matter what anybody thinks, we know that we have to do it in order to sit and wait for Jesus. We have to make ourselves vulnerable to that person as he comes by. We need to hear Christ call us by name and accept his self-invitation to join us in order that we and our households may be made whole. Please join me in prayer. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for this very familiar story. May we take from it the new message that you accept and that you love us. Lord, I pray that each one here will know that they are loved and that they are accepted, that they are called down from that tree of loneliness or fear in which they've been living, and simply live in that love, that grace, and mercy that you offer us in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, I want to be a Christian. Number 338. I'm sure that if Zacchaeus had known this, he would have sung it loudly.